You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast for Tuesday. My name is Jack and I'm joined for this particular edition by John Budden. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Jack. I'm pretty well. I thought I was getting a cold, but not. That winning nap always cures that sort of thing.
It is a well-known cure. Yeah, more people need to find that, don't they? Especially during winter. Hopefully, you can find plenty of winners on Tuesday's cards. We're going to have a look at races from Wolverhampton, Lingfield and Southall. But, John, you've been sworn to the Monday jury on this occasion. In the Racing Post, they put six questions every week to a panel of experts. And our very own expert, John Budden, will answer the very same questions. Most of them will be based on this weekend's action and what a weekend it was as well. The first one, John, is would you be taking on Thistlecrack for the Gold Cup after his disappointing defeat at the weekend?
Well, I would argue that it wasn't that disappointing, actually, but I would be taking on Thistlecrack because I'm, in fact, an Oliver Sherwood follower, an absolute tragedy about Many Clouds, but he had said earlier in the week, you should never be frightened of one horse, and so he was definitely keen to take on Thistlecrack with Many Clouds, and we know that although it was a fatal end, it was a tremendous win. So I would certainly take Thistlecrack on. Earlier in the month, I suggested that the two I liked in the Gold Cup, apart from Thistlecrack, who incidentally ran, I thought, perfectly soundly, are Jack Adam and Native River. And it would be ironical and by no means surprising if Native River didn't beat his more fancied contender.
People on the, experts on the panel perhaps suggesting that the winter ground didn't help and it will be very different come the Cheltenham Festival. How much stock do you put into that?
Well, I think quite a lot of stock on that particular premise, but at the same time, Jack Adam, I think, will probably be suited by better ground. I thought, as I say, Thistlecrack ran perfectly soundly. He was up against two really high-class jumpers who love Cheltenham, and you've got to say that Cheltenham is a completely different test from Kempton. He got into a wonderful rhythm in the King George and absolutely slaughtered the opposition. Undulations uphill, downhill, taking on course experts at Cheltenham. I thought Thistlecrack actually ran perfectly well, and I certainly wouldn't put off people backing him in the Gold Cup. But I would take him on simply because of the theory that you must never be frightened of one horse.
OK, so that's the first question answered. Next, they ask, can anything beat You Know What I Mean, Harry, in the Stayers Hurdle? What do you think?
Well, I think ground. You mentioned ground a moment ago, Jack. It is possible that on ground, You Know What I Mean, Harry, will find one or two horses very much more competitive than the ones he's met in the soft ground so far this season. And Cole Hardon would be my particular selection in this contest. Warren Greatorex was, in fact, one of the members of the Monday jury this week, and I think we'll find that he has said that his horse, Cole Hardon, will actually go extremely well on the better ground, and he looks as though he's coming back to form. I'm glad they're putting him back over hurdles. It seems to be the most sensible thing to do.
Yes, Warren Greatorex quite bullish about the chances as well. In the jury today. Right, question number three then. Would you give Euxys Andra a shout in the Ryanair after seeing the comeback run this weekend?
I would give Euxys Andra a shout in the Ryanair. I thought it was a very promising return. I have to worry, of course, about bounce factor, perhaps. I've always liked this horse, though. He actually beat my favourite northern jumper, Simply Ned, in one of the big two-mile races at Cheltenham before Christmas a couple of seasons ago. Alan King's always rated this horse, but having said that, I don't think he'll win the Ryanair. Jack. I think he is basically a speed horse over 2 miles, perhaps just a little bit more, on good ground. If the ground is good, he would have perhaps a chance of staying the extra trip for the Ryanair. But un de saut would be my selection for that particular race. The trouble is, though, that Alan King's got basically to run Uxizandra in the Ryanair because he can't possibly win the champion chase with that great Irish horse in the contest.
Absolutely. Okay, so next question then. Fahin obviously missed the Irish champion hurdle. Perhaps people suggesting that a lack of match fitness could count against him for Cheltenham. Would you be agreeing with that?
Well, I would agree with that, yes, Jack. I think, you know, we haven't seen Fahin for really a very long time. He's obviously a marvellous horse and certainly has been tremendous. It's a big, big ask on what looks to be a very short preparation, well, particularly in public, as you might say. He's probably worked quite a lot at home on the Mullins Gallops. So I was going to take him on anyhow earlier again in the month when I did a podcast, because I thought that the two I liked were UK trained. They are Yanworth, who I still think's got a really good chance of winning the champion hurdle. He was a very good horse, a classy horse on the flat, and I think that a fast run 2 miles would be ideal for him over hurdles. And the other one I quite like is Nicky Henderson's Brain Power, who I think has got to step up, obviously, but the form of that horse's runnings has worked out well. But I'm basically a Yanworth man. Petit Mouchoir was very impressive at Leopardstown, but I don't necessarily count him as a champion hurdle winner.
Okay, so keen on Yanworth then. We will come to the few of the prices and thoughts on Cheltenham shortly, but just looking back for one last time, I know you were glued to the action at the weekend. Did you see anything on trials day that caught your eye, John? I know you saw something elsewhere as well.
Well, the one horse I really did think ran extremely well, perhaps two actually, but one really well was Un de Saut, who I thought really boosted his Cheltenham claims. He jumped extremely boldly and accurately and was never going to be caught from the home turn. I think he's a really good horse, and if he runs in the Ryanair, gets there safely, then I think he'd be very hard to beat. West Approach was another eye-catcher, could well be a fancy driver for the Albert Bartlett, for example, and I think that was the one horse of the lesser known horses that I picked out at Cheltenham. At Leopardstown on Sunday, I was most impressed with Melon. I think that this is a Willie Mullins horse now, having got useful form previously in France, who's got a change of gear, a really good acceleration, just the sort of acceleration required to win a Supreme, and I think he'll go very well in that race at the festival.
You're not alone, because West Approach gets a fair few mentions by the pundits in the Monday Jury today as well. Finally then, let's look ahead to March. The question, well, it's not a question, it's more of a statement. Give us something for Cheltenham at a decent price, John.
Well, it's got to be Might Bite. Listeners to the podcast will know my liking for Might Bite. How he did not win that Quarto Star chase at Kempton over Boxing Day, I do not know. I do know because Daryl Jacob had a complete blot out and went for a fantastic leap at the last fence. Well, all he needed to do was to just nip over, and Might Bite would have won by 25 lengths pulling up. I think this is a really decent horse who has yet to show how good he is. And whether he runs in the RSA or the JLT, the button cash will be on Might Bite.
Okay, Might Bite. You've heard it here first. A very impassioned case for that horse there. Right, so we've looked ahead. We've looked back. Now we're going to look into the very near future, because this is Tuesday's cards. They come from Lingfield and Southall over the jumps, and then Wolverhampton on the Tapeter as well. Should mention, by the way, that William Hill's high five meeting is Southall. If your horse wins by 5 lengths or more, you'll get a 25% win bonus. If your horse is beaten by 5 lengths or more, you'll get your money back as a free bet. Right, John, we're going to start with Lingfield, if we may. The 225 is the Racing Welfare Handicap Hurdle. This is a Class 4 race over the 2 miles, and as things stand, 7 are going to post here, with the going described at Lingfield as heavy. Which one comes out on top here?
Yeah, well, the top weight is Seawall. It's trained by Chris Gordon. And, of course, Jack, Chris Gordon is a trainer you should always watch, together with Gary Moore, at tracks like Lingfield, Fontwell and Plumpton. Seawall was fourth last time out. I don't necessarily think he's going to win this race. He was fourth to a horse called Creve Hill, and he's been a bit disappointing so far. On that particular subject, and on that race, there's a horse in the contest called Darwin's Theory, who was trained by Fiona Shaw, who's not a trainer I have a great deal of knowledge about. But the horse ran very decently over course and distance last time out, finished second, in fact, in the Creve Hill race in front of Seawall, and I see no reason why he shouldn't do so again. But I'm going to go for the Tim Vaughan horse as the selection here in this 225. I think Honey Pound has got every right to be there or thereabouts, and Tim Vaughan's contender was a decent second in the context of this race, anyhow, at Leicester last time out. So Honey Pound will be the choice.
OK, Honey Pound, the selection in the 225 from Lingfield. We'll stick with that same venue and go to the 4 o'clock at Lingfield. It's a handicap chase, again, over the 2 miles, and again, Class 4 with 7 runners here. Where do you begin to look at this one?
Well, I think we've got to probably look at the top one, Cape Caster, who's got a very sound chance. He's trained by Evan Williams, Jack, and I was in the studio on Sunday when Evan sent, not a fleet, but really quite a large number of runners to Sedgefield. And although one or two of them ran reasonably well, Wild Magic finished fourth, they were disappointing. And the question is whether there is perhaps something slightly amiss with Evan Williams's yarn. If that was just a one-off blip, then I think Cape Caster's got a really sound chance. Was a decent performer last time out, a good win from Rock on Rocky, and that was at Force Lass, I think, and Rock on Rocky's in this field, but I can't see him reversing the form. I do think Cape Caster will go well, but I mentioned earlier Chris Gordon and Gary Moore. Now, Gary Moore's got a horse in this race called Mr. Muddle. All the Muddles are named after that famous Lingfield maestro who died at the age of about 93, only 18 months ago. And he was a great racing sort of exponent on the southern coast. And his horses were trained by Sheena West, but they're now moved by the Muddle family, presumably, to Gary Moore. Not another Muddle, won rather well at Fontwell on Sunday, and I'm going for Mr. Muddle to follow up here. I thought was a very respectable third to Bishop's Court just about 3 weeks ago, and on the strength of that, I thought Mr. Muddle would be another winner for the Moore family.
Yeah, it should start at a fairly decent price as well, you would imagine, in that race. That's the 4 o'clock at Lingfield, Mr. Muddle, the selection in that one. We're moving to Suville next. This is the 340, and it's a very large field that I've given you to sort out here, John, for this handicap hurdle. 16 runners at the time of recording.
Well, dare I say it, Jack, the bigger the field, the bigger the certainty. That was a real theory of my grandmother's, and it was very often turned out to be true. A lot of these 16 runners are very modest performers indeed, and there are quite a lot of letters rather than numbers in front of their names for the last outing. The two exceptions are the top one, Lady Buttons, and a horse called Amantius, both of whom have got recent winning form. Amantius was perfectly sound, winning well at Wincanton, also winning well at Leicester, and I am perhaps wrong in passing him over to what I consider to be the biggest certainty in the biggest field, and that is the top one, Lady Buttons. Now, I've always had a great great regard for Philip Kirby as a trainer. He's now set up his own stable, built more or less from scratch, not far from Catterick, and his horses are beginning to run extremely well and consistently. Adam Nicol, who rides most of them, also underrated and very decent jump jockey. Lady Buttons absolutely slaughtered the field at Newcastle last time out. Has a £7 penalty, but won, I think, by 7 lengths, head in chest. And I reckon that Lady Buttons will be very hard to beat in this big field at Southwell.
OK, Lady Buttons and the selection in the 3:40 from Southwell. The final race we're going to look at comes over the Topeeta, and it's at Wolverhampton. It is a fillies handicap. It's not a bad little race, this one, a class two. It's just over the mile, and there are 7 runners in this one, John.
Yes, it's always good value with Wolverhampton putting on a class two. Decent prize money for the middle of the week, too. And this EBF Fillies Stakes has attracted only 7 runners, but they're pretty classy ones. For example, Summer Icon was a good winner at Lingfield last time out and will clearly be pretty well fancied to follow up and score here at Wolverhampton on the Topeeta. You could say, too, that Caroline, I think is how you would pronounce it. Perhaps we call it Carolina, but it's difficult. It's got an A-E at the end. Now, that ran, I thought, a very decent contest, 2nd at Wolverhampton last time out, and you know, it's got practice on the Topeeta recently, so could go pretty well. She could, however, my choice has to be Ian Jardine's filly at the top of the list. A great follower of Ian Jardine, he's done tremendously well in his first sort of 2 years as a rookie trainer, really. Up at Caruthersdown in the stable used by Lenny Lungo when he was training. And this horse, Absolute Blast, is a very, very useful filly and really lives up to the name. Many race horses don't live up to their names, but this one is appropriate. And Absolute Blast does blast off very, very sharpishly. PJ McDonald in the saddle and has got 2 decent wins to her name recently. I see no reason why she shouldn't go extremely well on the Topeeta surface here at Wolverhampton, where Ian Jardine's horses do well. Drawn 1, I am going for Absolute Blast.
Okay, Absolute Blast then in the 4:50 at Wolverhampton. John, I'm just going to recap your selections before we go. So Absolute Blast in the 4:50 Wolverhampton. Honey Pound in the 2:25 at Lingfield. Mr. Muddle, 4 o'clock Lingfield. And then Lady Buttons in the 3:40 at Southwell. Good luck with all your bets, John. It's been a pleasure having you on the Racing Podcast once again. And we will speak to you soon. The Racing Podcast will be back for Wednesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.